This is a Defocus Media production.
Welcome back to Four Eyes, the podcast series that gives you a clear view into the optometry world across Canada and the U.S. We are your hosts. I'm Dr. Amrit Bilku.
I'm Dr. Deepan Kar.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ravinder Rindawa.
And I'm Dr. Alex Kuhn.
So today we'll be sharing our conversation with Dr. Stephen Huang, a graduate from the University of Waterloo and the owner of Respect Eye Care in Calgary, Alberta. Stephen has done an amazing job in making Respect Eye Care stand out from the other practices around him. He carefully curated a unique brand and clinic design, an attractive website and social media profile, and a very welcoming environment for his clients. So we wanted to learn all of his secrets on how he made Respect Eye Care a successful practice, even within just the first year of opening his practice. We hope everyone takes a lot of information away from this conversation today and gets inspired to either create their own clinic or maybe even rethink the design of their current clinic to emphasize what you provide for your patients and how to stand out from the crowd. Dr. Huang, thank you so much again for coming on to our podcast. We're really excited to talk to you today. And for any of our listeners who don't know who you are just yet, could you please give us an introduction about yourself?
Absolutely. So yeah, my name's Steve and I'm from Calgary, Alberta. I graduated from University of Waterloo 2013. I am married. I have a son. His name's Eli. And we're actually expecting another baby boy. We just found out the gender last Wednesday, actually. We were actually considering not finding out. The first one, we chose to keep it a secret till the very end. And so that was a good experience. But for this one, we decided, well, maybe having that anticipation would actually create a bit of a stronger connection with our upcoming child. And so we decided to find out. And since then, like, since I know it's a boy now, like, I have visions of all these fun things I'm going to do as a father, son, and like as the brothers, like the two little siblings will play
yeah,
with each other.
So how cute.
It's formed an instant connection. And I think what's helpful for us, I know this is sidetracking, but for those who are young parents, is just that I think it's going to be helpful because we talk to the baby in front of our son. So then mm-hmm. when the baby comes, it won't be such a foreign concept and that he recognizes that there is someone coming in.
And as a brother. Yeah.
As a brother. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then I opened up Respect just November 2019. But prior to that, I had worked primarily in central South Alberta. I did the whole drive-in back and forth, hour and a half commute there. And I just took whatever job, wherever the wind would take me. And so finally, I got tired of doing that. And in my first career, unfortunately, I had very career ADD. I would hop around every different clinic. And after a year and a half, I would get very bored. I found that offering patient care and the type of experience that I thought we could offer as a profession was lacking. And so I would try different places to see if I could find a place that would do what I had envisioned. And of course, nothing could meet that. And so that led me to finally create and Respect Eye Care. Why I chose to get into optometry is because I grew up wearing glasses and contacts. And when I went to see my old eye doctor, Dr. Hoover, if you're listening, you were my old eye doctor. And so, yeah, I kind of just thought it was a really cool experience. I just thought they were it's a fascinating industry and a profession. I love helping people to see clear. I think there's no better satisfaction than putting that pair of glasses or contacts and people seeing like, I've never seen the best I've ever seen before. I think that's the greatest satisfaction you can have as a healthcare provider. And really, what I love about optometry is that we're one of those unique healthcare professions that have that retail and medical tied very intimately together. Mm-hmm. And so that gives a lot of creative opportunities for a medical profession, which is really rare.
Yeah. What's your prescription?
I was going to say that. And I was like, are you nearsighted?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Can we guess? Awesome. Are you like
yeah,
a minus?
I'm
going to say a minus six.
Yeah. I could see from your.
Oh, you're like a minus four.
Yeah, you're definitely minus. I'll go with minus five.
Yeah. Okay. You guys got it.
Minus five?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Nice.
Those optics lessons.
I know.
Right? Right here.
For fairly recent grads, yeah, you guys have good experience. So ICO trained you guys well. So props to ICO.
Can you imagine if we said plus? How scared would you be?
Plus six? What kind of podcast is this? I'm out, guys.
I wouldn't judge your I wouldn't judge your optometric style. This is only a podcast, right?
So Stephen, first of all, big congrats on opening your own practice. That is a huge accomplishment. You know, that's like a dream of many optometrists wanting to open their own private practice, and you kind of made it. What do you think makes the design of Respect Eye Care Clinic space unique? And how did you come up with such a unique design?
Yeah, it's this is a good question because I thought long and hard prior to come open in Respect. So when I, you know, as I journeyed my first 4 or 5 years of practicing, I thought about, you know, what are these pain points that I feel like we continually hear? And you're going to start hearing this often as your career starts to grow. And so there'd be lots of things I recognize and people would say, but we never actually acted on or responded to those. And so in terms of the design specifically, you know, for some of the inspiration I originally got, because I wanted to create a space that was very inviting, very modern, but also had a bit of warmth to it. And so it didn't have to be so sterile and very high-end looking. And so I used a lot of inspiration just from like my travels. I would travel, like one of my favorite places to travel is Denmark, Copenhagen. And so the Scandinavian have really great taste on design. Yeah. And so I took a lot of inspiration from like some of their, like their just architecture, coffee shops. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of coffee shops around the world that I took a lot of concepts from, because I just thought coffee shops are such a wonderful place because that's where people spend a lot of time. They usually feel very comfortable there. They usually like to read. So there's a, it comes with a lot of, I guess, a certain like association and experience for people. So from there, I used Pinterest and obviously created a board. And that's where I kind of started to put an image together. And I quickly realized like there was a theme on some of the images I preferred, like certain tones. And so if you go on our website or you see some of our images online, a lot of the color palette is mostly white with black as the accent and also wood colors. I just thought that was a really beautiful color. So I didn't have to use actual colors like red, green, like those typical colors to show that this is a very specific brand. And then after that, I thought about, okay, what the pain points I've learned, you know, I hate the idea of a reception desk. I hate that there has to be this spot that everyone has to funnel to. Mm-hmm. It's always a traffic jam with patients checking in, checking out. So I'm like, well, do we have to have a reception desk? And so that was something that I wanted to challenge my designer who I end up hiring. Joel Meza Design Studio, if you guys want my recommendation, like that's the one I went to. He's from Ontario. He's become really popular now. He does a lot of optometry offices now. Other areas was like, I just hated that all our office rooms had to be like compartmentalized. You can tell that it's like owned probably by a man, by a male. That's how we typically think is compartmentalization, right? Yeah. And again, it makes sense, right? Because we're medical. So we want that sense of privacy. But I thought, does it have to be every single room has to be a room, like walled off four walls? And so again, with my existing space right now, we have basically just a long, what I call a workbench. So it's a long table. And so people can kind of hover around it and circle, go around it in any way they want. And so I wanted to create a free form where it didn't have to be dictated by like, you have to go here and here. Mm-hmm. And so I like that because it makes it feel a lot more free. And I think a lot of people can tell right away, it creates less sense of a medical experience. And I think people feel less anxious because I think, unfortunately, coming into a medical practice can come with certain anxieties for a lot of people. And then as you kind of channel from the front to the back, I have it so that the contact lens area, what we call the contact lens area, the insertion removal area, I have it kind of semi-partitioned with like slit woods. And again, you have to look at the pictures. So it gets, again, I'm starting to create the experience that as you go from the front to the back, there is a sense of increase in privacy. And then at the very back room, like it's not completely walled off, but I have, you know, an actual partition with like a darker tone of gray of paint. So again, I'm like, well, hey, we're optometrists. We should know how to use like colors and other things, visual perception to create that type of illusion. Mm-hmm. And so again, I never aced that class, visual perception. I hated it. Dr. Hobbes, I remember his name still. I did very poorly in that class, but at least I took some things away, I guess, a little bit, but that's how I created the experience. So those were the kind of key features I integrated into the design. And the last thing I wanted to really, really make sure was to like dedicate like the proper amount of space for the retail. And so it's just, I've seen so many clinics I walk into, this is before, of course, Open Respect, that they would have this like tiny little area, this nook that is crammed with probably like 400 or 500 pairs of glasses, right? On those little nose pegs. They're trying to maximize the space, right? And so you have this little space that's probably maximum, I would have to say probably 33%, like a third of the practice. And yet we know, at least practice owners will know, like generally if you have a retail offering, like eyewear, it's going to be typically 60, that's probably on the low side, to anywhere to 80% of your revenue, right? So I thought it was unfair to only dedicate such a small amount of space. So our space is only about 50%. because obviously it comes with certain things. You have to have exam rooms and stuff like that. And then the last thing is with the eyewear. I just really got tired of seeing the same way to display eyewear. It's like on those little nose pegs that get lined up row by row, or they just get like just put on a glass shelf, like it's dusty all the time. And so I decided to do it so it's on flat wood shelves. And so I just thought that was more like approachable to grab. It's natural more to grab that kind of stuff. And I actually tie a lot of our eyewear with like little merchandise and little pieces to help kind of create a tell a story of each of the eyewear. And again, we get many, many feedback on that. They felt like it was just this is a much easier shopping experience than just multiple places.
I think we can all safely say that the nose pegs and the like those frame boards are done. If you open a new practice now in 2021, you made the wrong choice if you chose the nose peg framework.
But they're still really popular now, though. Like even in Lethbridge, with a lot of there's a couple doctors that are opening up clinics, and they'll still like the nose pegs. Like how a typical clinic is set up, they won't stray from that.
Yeah.
So like what Steve is saying, all these new ideas, it just seems so much more attractive to like go to and be like, oh, this is new and like fun to look at, you know?
I really would hopefully people would take to heart that, like, from our experience anyways, like showing less is way more. Like, we only have like 4 to 5 frames per shelf. So in a column, we only have about 12 to maybe 15 frames, but we have lots of drawers. So we use a drawer system, which I was kind of worried about, but, you know, not presenting everything. People might kind of take a quick browse and they would just like walk away. But the experience here has been complete opposite because there's less, and we know this paradox of choice. I think that's from I don't know who the author is, Bob Schwartz or something like that. So anyways, he made that popular. And that's the idea is like when you have too many options, there's actually, it creates a paralysis, right? And so with us having less eyewear, people actually end up going slower because they're actually able to take their time and look at each individual piece. And also it helps because we create a bit of an experience within like kind of a world within each of the areas.
Yeah.
It becomes overwhelming. Like it's almost like, you know, like looking through something at Winners, you know, like you just have so much selection. You're like, you get overwhelmed. Whereas like when you just see the product right there in front of you and it's easier to like, look at each one and try it on and kind of find what you like.
For sure. And so talking about frames, the frames that you sell in your clinic are mainly from independent makers from around the world. And so how did you end up finding these companies and how did you choose which types of frames would be sold at your clinic?
Should I give the whole secret or should I just give part of it? I'm just
give us everything. We're desperate.
We're desperate for this information.
No, I'll give it. I'm just joking. I'm happy to share, obviously, because it was an interesting experience. So what led me to do this was primarily from two of my classmates. And I noticed you guys had interviewed some Waterloo grads from my class here too, like Dr. Andrea Lasby.
Yeah.
But yeah, in terms of the inspiration, it came from actually three of my classmates who opened up in Toronto. So St. Lawrence Eye Care in St. Lawrence, Toronto, and also in Ottawa, Eyes in the Glebe. So those are great clinics to check out, by the way. But yeah, they had started off ahead of me. So they got to open up the practice about 2 years, 3 years ahead of me. And so they stumbled upon what we call independent eyewear. So basically non-Luxottica product.
Yeah.
And so I didn't really know much about this. And I thought it was a huge like hocus pocus, like, okay, sure. Fancy eyewear you guys sell at a higher price. Like that's all it is. And so as I journeyed to build my practice, I just like, well, I hate to sell the same brand Ray-Ban that one somewhere next door can have. Two, online, they'll sell it for you cheaper. So what's the point of all fighting for the same bottom of the barrel? So that's what got me to force me to have to at least look into it. And so once I looked into it, I started to realize it's a whole world of eyewear industry that I had no idea.
Yeah.
And so that's where I started. I started looking at my classmates, seeing what type of clinics, what kind of brand lines that they carried. And then from there, I started branching off at, okay, well, what other high-end opticals in the city that I live in, other major cities across Canada, in the States? And so again, you start to see trends where like, okay, it looks like there's about like 8 to 12 like really common brands that people start to carry. And so obviously I don't know what these are all, like why they're unique and why they're special. And so I decided just to reach out to them. And then I just asked, hey, do you have like a North American Canadian rep? I decided just to email them. And I always included pictures of my clinic because I knew it was going to be different. And I told them why my vision of the practice and that we only plan to carry independent eyewear because they don't like hearing that, hey, you're going to carry Ray-Ban, Oakley, Nike, because it just clashes with them. They still offer it. There's clinics that do it and opticals that do it. So from there, I just kind of started to meet with certain ones, and time and wise, I got lucky because a lot of them were looking to expand in our city, Calgary, just because Calgary is quite lacking, I thought. And so that was lucky for me that in my own city, that there was an opportunity to open up another, a fully independent eyewear place.
You know, I don't wear glasses anymore, so I'm just not, you know, in the frame market, look, browsing frames, but I'm still surprised that people care a lot about the brand name.
Yes.
Because still there are so many amazing frames out there that every time I walk into an optical, I immediately just look at the frames and just, you know, what are the shapes? What are the colors? I don't even notice what brand it is because I just want to make sure it looks good on my face. You know, if that's something I'm going to be wearing. And I feel like a lot of these independent brands are really reaching out to the younger generation because I feel like the younger generation isn't really paying attention to the name anymore. They want to just get something that looks good and compliments them.
Yeah. And at a better price too, right? Like,
and a better price.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I think like obviously one, the brand, like it shows you how powerful a brand is, right? So like, you know, those ones that are infamous out there. And so that's why it's important for us to look at brand in our own business, right? Because of how powerful that can be. But also to say that that's part of the reason why I kind of fit with that millennial crew, because I don't like wearing stuff that's like got the big brand name on it, LV, Gucci, whatever it is. And that's not my jam. And so I guess I kind of naturally just gravitate towards these things because it kind of fits with my own core principles and my values. Yeah.
So Stephen, how do you think your own brand, message, and clinic design gives the average patient a different experience when they choose to have an eye exam at Respect Eye Care?
For us, like, and I'm still tinkering on this, obviously. I'm not going to say I'm by far perfect on it, but I thought it was really important to invest in like hiring a designer, a graphic designer, to actually design the brand of Respect. And so the reason was because I just felt like there, every message point, you know, from your website to when they come in to the interior design, like it all has to be consistent because at any point, if there's an inconsistency, I think humans are very good at picking up those kind of little, what we'll call flaws or errors. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think we're trained to do. And so that's why I decided to invest in it. And honestly, as you look into it, I know a lot of optometrists might say, well, that's kind of a waste of money. Like, why would you spend like $5,000 on doing something like that? That like really is not tangibly going to make you money right away. But I took the risk of doing that. I thought it was very important. I thought it would differentiate ourselves. And a lot of the independent eyewear owners I would talk to, they say, Steve, you're going to be 99% different than everyone else right off the get-go. So having those brand assets was really important because then I could stretch it and put it in my social media, my website, even at this insider shop, so that people can hopefully now start to create that experience. The website, of course, is still, I think, the biggest driver for a lot of the business and for a lot of bookings. I know there's some optometrists in the States. I think there's anyways, one of the optometrists in the States, he's big about like Yelp and like using Google and all those. And those are obviously very valuable. And I think even Justin Bazan, this one guy I followed in New York, he was big that he thought Facebook would, like, you could pretty much just do everything on Facebook, right? And I'm sure, you know, it depends on where they are in their area that they can probably make use of that. But for us, at least generally in Canada, I think, is the website the primary driver. And so that's why the brand assets is super important for that. And so I wanted to create a website that was very simple messaging, very clean, and had a very specific look to it. And so that's why I ended up hiring a photographer, models, I found volunteers for models to rock our eyewear. And then we showed pictures because, again, you know, the moment you show generic stock photos, everyone knows what they are. And so it just automatically creates the message in someone's head that you're a generic place and that you're not willing to invest in that kind of experience and that time, right? And so through the website, through the social media that we've created, and also the interior design, we've created an experience where basically people don't even ask us about the price of the eyewear. Like they will at the very end, of course, before they're about to purchase. But if you can believe it, I actually don't show any price tags on any of our eyewear. We don't have any little numbers written on the lenses. We don't have little sticky price tags sticking on the side of the temple. But I think because we were able to create a very cohesive and consistent brand message that, hey, like we're actually here, we offer something that's quality and that we're here to actually take care of you, that that type of question and resistance already is like met at the door. Like we don't have to even like deal with a lot of those questions when they come into the space.
And that's insane. Like you're only 1 year in and you're already developing all of that trust with your patients where, you know, some of these clinics that have been open for maybe 5, 10, 15 years are still
probably getting that attitude from some people that walk in. And it just shows that the money you invested in all those additional things, like the graphic designer, the interior designer, the photographer, things that, yes, you could do yourself, but hiring those professionals, there's a reason why they're professionals. You know, we're professional optometrists. We're not letting other people do our exams. And there's a reason why. And those other designers that you hired, they know what they're doing. And I feel like that did make you stand out from all of the other ODs in your area and even around the world, because, you know, you put in the time and money for that, and it paid off for sure.
Well, yeah. Thank you. I mean, you guys don't know my actual book, so yeah. You can't actually speak how successful, but we are still standing and we're still having our doors open,
yeah.
I guess. But
yeah.
No,
I was just going to say, because, you know, when we interviewed Dr. Danielle Gordon for Sphere Optometry, it's the same thing. You know, she designed her clinic on her own, but she also had an interior designer who was close with her. She hired a professional photographer to take pictures of her clinic on her website. So again, these are the things that are making you guys stand out, because you're stepping aside, you know, and letting that other professional come on in and bring their ideas and their, you know, unique eye into making your clinic something that stands out for your patients.
It definitely does pay off, because I think even with your website, that's what drew me in to your website. Like, I went through like everything in your website because I was just curious about it.
Yeah.
And I don't even live in Calgary right now, and I wasn't even going to book an eye exam. I was just like, what is this? This is so different. Like,
yeah,
this is very interesting. So, and that was the same thing with Dr. Danielle Gordon's website too. It just draws you in because it's just interesting. Yeah. But speaking of targeting, like, which demographic you want to bring into your clinic, right? So a child, a millennial, and a senior will have different ideas as to what will make their retail and medical experiences a great one, right? So therefore, in your opinion, how can you build and maintain a unique brand that also caters to the wants and needs of patients of all ages?
So this is actually my favorite question. I was hoping that you'd bring in something like this up, but just because I'll be curious what the comments will be like, because I don't know if this will be controversial in any way. But so my take, again, this is just from my personal experience, is coming into the practice. So I had practice in many different settings, corporate, private, you know, opticals, small town, big city, all these things, right? And so I did all of it. I've seen the seniors, I've seen the kids. So I got to get a feel of, okay, what type of patients do I normally like to prefer to see, right? And I hope this, so I don't know if I'm going to be one of those bad optometrists who gets to pick.
You're
and
on
choose.
The right podcast for that. We'll just say that, yeah. Right now.
All right. Well, I hope this is a safe zone. This is a safe zone, yes. Right?
Have you heard our happy hour episode? You probably haven't.
No, I haven't.
This is a really safe zone and a non-judgment zone.
Non-judgment. Okay. Well, if I'm judged, that's fine. But again, coming into open up respect, I thought of pain points, right? And so, full disclosure, I love seeing kids. I actually love doing their eye exams. It's actually one of my fun part of my day. It's just to do them back to back all day. Two reasons I don't really like it. One is that, you know, it gets tiring, right? It gets tiring. You're gonna have to speed through these things. These kids have very low attention span. So you're trying to motor through that, and that's fine. And the second part is, from a business standpoint, like, they don't produce a lot of money, right? And so they don't produce a lot of money for the practice directly. Again, I get it. It's a service. You're providing a service for the family. You're hoping that the whole family will come. Okay. And so I never kick anyone out or, like, you know, discriminate. But it's been fascinating, because how I created from the onset, from respect, is that we don't actually get a lot of, like, the outliers. So the kids under 18 years old and the seniors over 65, we still get them, and I still see them. I love doing their eye exam. But it's amazing, because I don't know if it's because of the brand or the website or whatever it is. But we don't get that. And we actually get primarily the working class. And that's the population that I kind of geared my practice towards. Again, still offering something for a little bit of everyone, but we actually don't offer kids glasses. We don't have kids frames at all. I actually had a small little stash of it, like maybe like 8 or 10, just in case there's like some kids who come through. Never really happened. And so I just got rid of all my kids glasses. I don't have any safety glasses. I don't have any sports glasses. Mm-hmm. What else do we offer?
what else don't we have in this clinic?
budget packages, like budget eyewear. we like completely scrapped it. And so I was very nervous about that, right? Especially because I worked at a lot of practices that offered all those things. I thought that maybe I'm missing something. Because of that, I think we've created a practice that like people kind of get that. And so it's hard, right? We turn away people, obviously indirectly. But I think that we need to know like what we are one passionate about doing. And two, we can only offer so many things. We can't be all things to all people. When you try to do that, that's what ends up happening. You'd be very generic. You can't offer strongly any specific area. So that's kind of what we chose. And so, yes, unfortunately, we do take care of all eye exams of all ages, but in terms of specific offering for products, we're very selective.
I wouldn't feel bad about saying that at all. There are a million ODs that, I mean, I've personally met in school and during my residency that will very bluntly say, I don't want to see anyone under 50. Like, don't talk to me, kick him out, send him to someone else. Or someone will be like, I hate everybody above the age of 18. Like I only want to talk to kids. I don't want to deal with parents, adults, seniors. Mm-hmm. Everyone has like their niche, and it clearly is, you know, yours is the millennial and that middle-aged adult because of the style and the design. Like your kids are not going to appreciate those wooden shelves. They're not going to care. Yeah, but the 35-year-old working adult with a family or, you know, with their own sense of style will. So, and seniors can't see the wooden shelf. So they're, you know, they're not going to notice.
Yeah. But yeah, no, that's true. Like, I mean, obviously the clinic and your website, you know, we all became interested in it. We're all millennials and we were like, we would definitely go to a clinic like this. And I think one thing you did say was really important, just when you try to cater to everyone, you kind of, you know, miss the point there. And when you try to cater to one group of people and work hard at that, you can become really successful at doing that, which I think you already have become successful at that and you're doing it really well.
Same thing like a specialist, right? Like there's some offices that will try to do everything. They'll try to do VT, scleral lenses. What else?
Whatever else. Just throw it in the mix. Whatever else. Throw it all in.
They'll try to do everything. They'll try to be like a comprehensive everything. But sometimes it's just okay to pick one thing and just stick with that, like, right? What you're good at. And that's kind of what your brand is, right? Like your brand is targeting a certain group of people. And there's nothing wrong with that, you know? And that's, it caught our attention for a reason, right? Because you are trying to catch their attention.
For sure.
Oh, ladies, you make me so feel so much better. This is a very safe. No, I feel very comforted.
But you should feel feel really proud about what you have created, because it is so different from what we have seen for so long. Like I'm not
for so long, and we've only been out for a year.
Yeah.
And we're already acting like we've been practicing for 50 years, so tired of everyone.
But it's so nice to see something like this. That's so refreshing and new and unique, where it's like, oh my God, like, you know, if I ever plan to open up something, these are the kind of practice owners I'm going to look up to, you know? I do have one more question for you. Do you ever plan to expand your clinic where you might hire more doctors and kind of go
or open multiple locations?
Yeah.
Oh man, a joke question. Yeah, well, no, that's a good question, because you know, I never even thought of that in the first year, but it's interesting now that you're in business. You know, I talk to other business owners too. That's not just in the eye care industry. Like I have a friend who's a cafe owner in the city, Monogram, and so we talk a lot. And it's interesting because I told him, hey, is it possible to just, you know, be comfortable as a business owner, just coast in, just, you know, I'm happy where things are at. I don't need to really grow that much. And he basically looked at me in the eye and said, if you're not growing, you're not a business. Like it's not possible to do that. And so that's, I still am wrestling with that, but overall, yes, of course, you know, those dreams, I had those dreams prior to opening Respect. I did create Respect with the second room, a second exam room, because we had the amount of space. It's about a 1500 square feet space, but it's very easy. It depends on your configuration too. I just knew that I didn't want to be just the only doctor, like for the revenue to be only reliant on myself. That hopefully within the space I could create an opportunity that there's at least two doctors. So I mean, I guess it's on my mind, but I really don't have it in my heart to do it. I don't want to be that. I never went into this intentionally to be one of those owners who had to open up like two, three different locations. And I think part of it is because, but when they offer too many things, they dilute their services and end up really, I think, diluting their cost. And so they have to end up expanding because that one little location can only offer, like it's only serve so many people, right? And also part of that is also restricting their brand. So when you call your clinic, you know, Dr. whatever and Associates, or you call yourself, suburb community, yeah, eye care, you know, basically you've told everyone, hey, we are only for this area here. And so, mm-hmm, of course you're already limiting yourself, and a brand is not intended to be that. You'll never see any successful brand do that. Mm-hmm. And so I was hoping, that's why I chose the name Respect. And there's other names, mm-hmm, I could have gone with, but something basic that was a little bit less tied to a specific area or tied to a specific clinic, because there's not many products that we can actually offer that is unique, but luckily we have that. And so I kept that in mind. And so I created Respect, hoping that, you know, we don't have to just be in this community, Inglewood Ramsey. So I guess in terms of the only like summary one is for a lot of people is when you go into creating your, if on your heart you choose to decide that you want to be a business owner, you not only become a business owner, but you get stuck working in your business, right? But as a business owner, your goal is to work on the business, not in the business. Because, mm-hmm, if you're doing, yeah, that, then you're pretty much going to kill yourself, right? And like, yeah, and you're going to work yourself down, you're going to burn yourself out. And that's why we see a lot of that, because being a doctor full-time already is quite, it can be very involved. And so, mm-hmm, I just hope that, you know, obviously there will be a season or time that will require you to work in the business fully, but you, mm-hmm, have to always keep in mind time, eventually that timeline, you know, 2-5 years, whatever it is, to segue yourself out. Because if you continue to work 5 days a week, see patients 8 hours a day, and expect yourself to be able to run a really successful practice, I think will be very challenging.
Yeah.
And the second thing is just really having a clear direction of, like, I guess what type of practice you want to do. Cause you can't just make a practice that, although on paper is like, oh, this is such a, like, this like fits all the bills. This is going to like be such a unique offering. Like this is going to, like, this fits this area. And so it's just like, if you don't truly believe it and live it yourself, like it's going to be very clear by the time, mm-hmm, the person comes across to you, to your staff. Because you have to emanate like that type of persona. And so it has to come really truly from where you are. So I would definitely hope that you don't open a practice just because it's an opportunity to be successful. It's just something that you'd actually have to truly enjoy doing, for sure.
Yeah. All this information will be really good for our listeners, because it's just really eye-opening for any of our new grad listeners who are thinking about opening a clinic and not really knowing what direction to go with their design, their brand, their ideas. And so you've given a lot of information that's really going to put them at least in the right direction as to where to go from there. Well, so yeah, thank you again, Steve, for all the information that you shared today. It was great.
It was my pleasure.
Thank you to everyone for listening to Four Eyes. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to subscribe and leave us a rating to give us feedback on how we're doing. You can also check us out on Instagram at Four Eyes Optom for more content. Look out for new episodes every Wednesday. So until then, stay tuned.